The reading is taken from 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an impressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them they would not serve in themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that they have now told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Even angels look into these things. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
So today we start our 5 Sundays on the theme of frontline. These are the frontline Sundays from the LICC, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And if we can have our slides, please. The next slide tells you the themes that we're going to be doing. So today we're doing all of the difference in the world. Next week, wherever we are. Week after, whatever we do. And then the one hidden behind me, because I didn't organize it properly when I did the slides, sorry, is... I'll leave it a secret. Shall I leave it a secret? I'll leave it a secret. No, it's together we grow. And so today, all the difference in the world. Now, Peter, we think, was in Rome when he wrote this letter. And it was about 30 years after the death of Jesus. He's writing to a group of people who've been scattered under the early persecution of the church. That was under the reign of Nero, which you probably know about. They'd left their original churches. They're scattered over this area that's now sort of northern Turkey. Peter's writing to them to encourage them in their faith. And he tells them that they are God's elect. He says that in verse 1. In spite of their difficulties, they should remember that God has blessed them with the assurance of eternal salvation. They're a privileged people. They've got this incredibly deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because they've got this new covenant. We were speaking about covenants last week. They've got this new covenant relationship with God that's been made possible through Christ Jesus. God has blessed them with his Holy Spirit as well. Can we flick back a slide? Just flick back a slide. We're going to come on to that. Let's go back so everyone's not Too distracted, thank you. So God's blessed him with his Holy Spirit. And also, this is something that was so amazing that for generations, people have been looking forward to it. The prophets have been prophesying that this is going to come. Even angels have been waiting in anticipation for this period of history to come into being. And so Peter says, be encouraged. Be encouraged. And of course, all of that also applies to us, because we also live in this period of time. Martin Luther says that the book of 1 Peter contains all that is necessary for a Christian to know. He describes it as a paragon of excellence. And we're just going to focus on the first two verses this morning. And then they unpack, they're the key, really, to the rest of the passage. And in these first two verses, we discover three things about you. Now, I'm going to be very rude and use the second person this morning. I'd normally say we, but the passage says you. And sometimes I think it's important to remember this applies to you. It's not just for ministers. This applies to you. You are God's elect. It says, to God's elect. Now, this is not about predestination. I'm simply going to point out what this passage says about you, each one of you. Because you live in the times that Jesus can be known, you've sensed God's call on your life, you've responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've been chosen, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In verse 2, we read, God always had a rescue plan for us. He had foreknowledge that a group of people would respond to his offer of saving grace. That doesn't mean that God loves you and doesn't love other people. Okay? We all know John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that whoever should believe in him. And we know 1 Timothy that it's God's desire that all should be saved. So this is beyond our understanding. I'm not going to pretend to read the mind of God. But God always knew, Scripture tells us, that a group of people would respond. And sadly, some would reject the offer. Don't do that this morning. Respond to God's offer. God's desire for you is heaven. Do not settle for hell. But for those who respond to Jesus, your identity as part of that group is frankly mind-blowing when you think about it. You've been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus cleanses you from your sin so that you're acceptable to God. And then you've got an opportunity to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life that unlocks a beautiful, intimate relationship with God and gives you an assurance of salvation, eternal salvation, and gives you access to be an agent propelled by God's power to do God's work on this earth. That's what it says in verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, says Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then he goes on in verses 3 to 12 to say some things that are already true about you. These aren't things that might be true about you if you behave yourself as a good Christian. These are things that are already true about you if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and can be true about you if you haven't yet and choose to do so. He says, if we can have our next slide now. Thank you, Andrew. He says these things. He says that you have new hope. New hope. He says that you have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says that you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He says that your salvation cannot be taken away from you. It is shielded by God's power against the very elements of darkness. And he says that your faith, and particularly your faith as it's exhilarating under times of difficulty, will result in praise, glory, and honor to God when Jesus Christ comes again. God will be glorified by your faith. That's amazing. Your faith, your life can bring glory to God. And Peter goes on to tell us in verse 8 that you have access to an amazing joy because of your identity as Christians. A glorious joy. And then he reminds us that the prophets were talking about you, about this age in time. And even angels longed to see the dawn of this day. You can make a difference. Today's theme, all the difference in the world. You are God's elect. When I was thinking about going into ministry, I had a bit of a picture. I've shared this before. Apologies, you'll probably remember it as I go through. But I had a picture. I'd died and I was in heaven. And there were sign-up sheets to meet with all of the greats from the Bible. With David, with Peter, and with Moses. And, you know, you had to wait, you know, your 3,758 years to meet, you know, the person. But there you go. Time came. And time came to meet with Moses. I was dead excited. And so I went to meet with Moses. And, of course, you know, I asked him a few questions to, like, fill out the narrative a bit, find out a bit more, you know, about the amazing things that he did. You know, all the amazing things that happened as he parted the Red Sea and all of these things happened. And then we got to the end of that, and Moses then turned to me and he said, "Now tell me about you. Tell me about you. You lived in the times when Jesus had come. You had access to the Word of God and you could read it. You were able to be filled with the Holy Spirit that had been poured out on all flesh, as was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Tell me what happened in your life. I want to hear about you." I had to respond to that. My response was to become a minister. But that is and doesn't need to be everybody's response in order to glorify God in your life. God is glorified, as we're going to find out as we do this series. It's not about ministers. It's about you. You are God's elect. You can make a difference. You are making a difference in everything that you do. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. You can make all the difference in the world. Right, next point. You are exiles. Oh, so yeah, we've had those, haven't we? Great. Next one. You are exiles. If we have our next slide, I think that just drops that in at the bottom. Back in those times that Peter wrote, Christians were suffering in horrible ways that in the West and today we know very little of. And their identity of Christians is at the same time the source of their joy, but also a reason for their grief and a consequence of their suffering. Marginalized by society, alienated in relationships, threatened with a loss of honor or social standing, or probably worse. And this book has helped suffering Christians over the years. The former Soviet Union, former Yugoslavia, Muslim Indonesia. Christians have suffered because they are different to the world around them. Called to be distinct. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world, and different to the world around us. And there's danger for us too here in the West. But it's not danger from persecution so much as it is danger from syncretism. This is the word that missiologists, those who study mission, use to describe what happens when we just blend into the background. And really there's no real difference between what we look like and what people around us look like. Bill Johnson, who James quoted earlier, I was also going to quote today, said, "Don't live like a practical atheist. Don't live your life as if someone looking on wouldn't be able to tell the difference between you and an atheist." Could 12 men and women of the jury find enough evidence, I wonder, to convict you of being a Christian in the way that you are, in the way that you behave, in the way that you act outside of this building? I wonder. Because you're not part of this culture. You have different identity. You're not aligned to the values of this world. You're not measuring yourself by the standards of this world. You're not evaluating yourself and your achievements by the goals of this world. You are exiles. And you can make all the difference in the world because you are different. Thirdly, you are scattered. To God's elect, exiles, scattered. You don't live in a commune or a gated community. You're scattered throughout North Wales and possibly throughout the wider world. Your primary area of influence for you is probably not this location, although it might be, probably not even this community. You're part of networks of contacts, your families and friends, work colleagues. You're scattered among people who do not know, or who do not yet know Jesus. And that has enormous potential. 98% of God's people are not in church paid work. And on average, they spend 95% of their time away from church-based activities. I spent 13 years of my life in not church paid work, so I can relate to this. I know it's not easy. But if these 98% of believers are able to be deployed and shine their light for Jesus in the 95% of their lives when they are not in contact with church-based activities, think of the potential impact. It's enormous. You can make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. We're going to have a video now that's just going to help us to reflect on this, and then an activity as we think about it and reflect on it.
End of the UK, gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference.
But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us. Scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make all the difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.